Evening, everyone. This is the Pacifica National Board Finance Committee meeting of October 27th, 2015. My name is Brian Edwards-Tiekert. I'm the chair of the committee. I ask our secretary, R. Paul Martin, to please call the roll.
Okay. Lydia Brazon.
Here.
Adriana Kasanov. Bill Crozier.
Here.
Brian Edwards-Tiekert.
Here.
R. Paul Martin here. Tony Norman. Michael Novick.
Present.
Serene Roberts. Nancy Sorden. Barbara Wipperman. That's five. Going back. Adriana Kasanov.
Here.
Okay. Tony Norman. Serene Roberts, Nancy Storden, Barbara Wipperman. Well, that's six.
Great. Thank you, R. Paul. I sent out a draft agenda a couple days ago. We've gotten some things I did not anticipate since then. But here's the proposed agenda as it stands. Minutes approval, budget review, starting with P&A, then WPFW, then KPFT. Then an item for the status of other budgets.
Tony,
then a check-in on fall fund drive results. And then discussion on cash flow. Since then, we've received a draft budget for the Pacifica National Office, which I think should probably be a pretty high priority because we haven't even given a first look at a budget from them yet. And I don't believe we've scheduled any time certain for unit managers to meet with us. So we have fewer constraints on our time. Does anyone want to make a proposal? Well, first of all, does anyone want to propose the agenda that I've sent out, and then we can take amendments?
So moved, Serene.
Thank you, Serene. Does anyone want to make a proposal for where to consider the national office budget?
Tony?
Yes, sir.
Could we put that up front? Since we didn't do a first review, could we do a first run through at the top of the agenda?
Okay, so that would be item. What comes between 4 and 4A? 4.1. No. Yes. Well, it would be immediately before item A. Time limit for that, Tony?
I'd say 25 minutes.
Okay. So the proposal is to add consideration of a national office budget as the first item under budget review and approval, item 4, with a time limit of 25 minutes. Does anyone object to that amendment?
Okay, hold on a second. You know what might be even better? To, instead of fudging with it there, why not make that A and make everything else a little... you know, different. In other words, PRA would be B, and PFW would be... where's your B in this? 4 has an A, and it doesn't have a B.
I ran out of primary education, I'm sorry.
Okay, well, we could just make the proposal to make the national office budget 4A and PRA budget 4B, and that will fix everything.
Okay. If you record it that way, I think it will be completely consistent with what Tony's proposing. Is there any objection to that? Hearing none, that amendment's now incorporated into the budget. Does anyone wish to propose any other amendments? Hearing none, is there any objection to the agenda as amended? Okay. The agenda is now approved. We're on to minutes approval. R. Paul, do we have any new minutes?
Yeah, I sent some in earlier.
Oh, I see. September 22nd came in a couple hours ago. Does anyone want to propose approving the minutes of September 22nd? If no one's had a chance to read them, it's totally fine to sit on them until next week. Sorry, who said so moved?
Lydia
said so moved. Okay. Does anyone wish to propose any changes to the minutes of September 22nd?
Well, I'm one of the people that hasn't read them yet.
Yeah.
But I don't have any changes.
Didn't Lydia postpone them? Didn't she move to postpone them?
No, she moved to propose them.
I moved to postpone them.
Okay. Any objection to postponing these minutes till our next meeting?
Nope.
Hearing none, the minutes of September 22nd are now held over. And is that it for outstanding minutes, R. Paul?
That's what I got so far.
Okay. I know we're having meetings fast and furious. Appreciate all the work that's requiring of you. We're on to budget review and approval, and first up is the National Office Budget, which Efren sent out last night. Is Efren on the call? Okay. Well, let's take it up. This would be an email that you all received. Let's see. Oh, did you all not get the National Office Budget?
I have it.
No, we got it.
I have
today.
Okay, I have it direct from Efren, but I don't seem to have gotten it. Oh, okay. Through the list. Is anybody missing the National Office Budget?
I don't know yet.
Could someone, I couldn't find it. Could someone forward it to me? Tony?
Okay, looks like it was sent to the list at 3:30 Eastern today. I'll send you a copy, Tony. Okay, let's see what we've got.
Hard time. It's coming up very slowly.
That could just be because it's a really big spreadsheet.
Okay.
So on revenue, the budget's anticipating $97,000 in mail drive income, which is slightly down from 2015.
We're off the stream right now. I'm going to reconnect, but it may take a minute.
Okay. Would you prefer we wait?
Is Efren on?
I asked and nobody answered.
Okay, let me call him because I saw it for the first time late this afternoon.
Could someone call him?
Yeah,
good to have him on.
All right, Efren?
Nancy on the call.
Hey, Nancy.
Still working on reconnecting. Sorry. Take another minute.
I have it saying listener support zero.
That's right. National Office doesn't have fund drafts.
Oh, of course, of course. Duh.
Okay, we're back on the stream. Actually, okay. The stream was continuing. It was just dead, but Skype is not connected, so we're everything's going out.
Lydia, did you get anything back from Efren?
Yeah, he didn't have the number. I thought he was added to the...
He, you know what, if he's not on the committee roster on KPFTX, he probably won't get the automatically generated notices.
Okay.
He's just on our discussion listserv.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm going to have to drop off a bit, Jerry. I'll be back.
So, Efren, are you with us?
Do we need to call him?
Well, you know what? Let's go through it, and hopefully he'll be on by the time we're down to questions.
Yeah, I just gave him the number. He should be on any second unless he wrote it down wrong.
Is it not the same number in code for every public meeting we have?
Yes.
Has been.
Adriana?
Yeah, what's up, Adriana?
She came. I've seen that line 5900 SCA info.
Uh-huh.
I'm not talking about the cash flow. I'm not asking about that money going to, you know, other places. What I'm saying is that money should be going to the station, the generator, or at least, I mean, not going, but be you know, credit to the stations because they are the one producing it, right? We talk about that and we never did it, but I believe that it's only fair. If that is, I mean, obviously the national office will have that money, but should be credit to the stations.
Yeah, I mean, if you credit it to the stations, we just have to raise central services by an equivalent amount.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, if you see the last the line that talks about this is so big that if
this
you
is my friend. Good evening.
Oh, okay.
Hey, Efren.
Hi.
So Efren, we just pulled up the national office budget. Very glad that you can join us. Most of us haven't had much time to look it over. But I see that most of your income is almost exactly the same, except you're expecting a small increase in SEA income?
Yeah, because I don't really have a very good idea about the mail drive results that we are having. That's why I could only make estimates. But the SEA and the affiliate, I have figures.
So the budget figure for SEA income is based on existing contracts?
Yeah. Not existing, because all the SEAs actually are due for renewal since more than a year ago. Nothing has been renewed so far. John Almele is still negotiating, I think, with the respective stations.
So what's the basis? What's the basis for the budget? Is it what they're actually paying?
For the SEAs?
Yeah.
Well, the only basis is that they continue to use the facilities.
But are they paying?
They're paying, yes. They're paying, yes.
So they're currently paying at the rate of $264,000 a year?
Yeah, yes.
So why is it going up from 2015?
It is... for 2015, because some stations do not pay on time. Not stations, but some STAs. Some are delayed. But for the budget, for the purpose of preparing the budget, I estimated that everybody will be paying this on time. Actually, I have this kind of idea how to make them on time, just like... Of course, it's another discussion, but just like internet. If you do not pay your internet, you do not get service. So that's my idea for this SEH and affiliates. If they pay, then they get codes so that they can access our accounts. But that is another discussion. Right now, if they don't pay, then they don't pay. There's nothing we can do as of now.
This is Lydia.
Go ahead, Lydia.
Are you talking about a late fee? Is that what you mean? Efren?
Brian was asking about how we project these collections from the SCAs.
Right.
And the same is true for the affiliates. As I mentioned, some of them fall behind. They are not able to pay on time. But for this budget purposes, I have to show them as we are collecting them on time. But as I mentioned a while ago, this is subject to another discussion, but the proposal here is to make sure how to make sure that they pay on time as per schedule. And that is, as I mentioned, just like internet, telephone, you do not pay, you do not get service.
This is Serene.
Serene?
Yeah, he's not talking about late fees. He's talking about suspension of service.
Yeah,
and I'm not sure we should be having
that.
The
second time around, yeah.
Talking about ways of collecting.
Yeah.
No, he's talking about suspension of service. Anyway, I'm not sure if that's a discussion we want to have right now on an open stream, frankly.
Okay, good point. So the budget in broad strokes, the personnel costs are going back up to what they were in 2014.
We projected that the ED will be, I projected the ED will be here January, and uh-huh. I understand the CFO will be here November 15.
Okay. Board expenses are down.
The board, as I mentioned in the covering letter, I only provided for one meeting. I do not know how many meetings we should provide for the PNB meetings.
Administration expenses are down another $80,000. Looks like they've been dropping for a couple years. Let's see.
The drop is in the one is in the legal fees. I did not, because from 2015 of $100,000, we provided only $3,000 a month because, legal fees, they just appear. Something can happen and we get a big bill. We could not project really how much should be the legal fees. I mean, somebody can just sue us and we need to spend something on legal.
Okay, so that's the difference. Is you recorded $100,000 in legal fees in 2015, and you're projecting $36,000 in 2016.
Yeah, because we can never tell about legal fees.
Is there no active litigation that attorneys are working on? Maybe Lydia, you might know better.
Yeah, this is Lydia. There, other than what the board already knows, it has incurred, those what we would be paying down on whatever the court decision was and so forth, it is still waiting to be negotiated. I have calls in, so we can't estimate that until I get a return call on the one.
Oh, but those are all outside the budget because they're from prior years.
Right, exactly. But other than that, no, we have some letters that hopefully, a couple of letters that hopefully those can be quickly resolved without a suit. As such, there's two or three of those. That's about it.
Okay. And then everything else looks basically the same, the exact same central services as this year. $336,000 in payments of bills from previous years, catch-up payments. And you have an $8,700 catch-up payment for pensions?
$8,700. No, this is the pension is the regular annual remittance of the pension contribution for national office.
Why isn't that an operating expense then?
Pardon?
Why would that not be an operating expense? You have it in cash and capital.
In the annual budget, that is that should be shown under pension plan contributions, row 78.
Right, but look at row 43.
That's the row 43 is basically the reconciliation of the annual budget with the cash flow. In the cash flow, the reconciling items are four: depreciation, pension expense, remittances of pension, and monthly payments of accounts payable. In the regular annual budget, the pension provision and depreciation are there because they are regular monthly expenses. But in the lower part, after row 34, the net income per budget, on the next page, starting row 37 to row 52, I added the reconciliation of the annual budget with the cash flow.
Okay. Hello? I guess I guess I'm not understanding because it looks like you're budgeting pensions twice.
No.
Once in operating and once in reconciliation.
If you notice from row 34, that until row 34 is the annual budget. And then from row 37 down to row 52, you can reconcile that if you look at the cash flow. That is row 37 to 52 is the reconciliation with the cash flow. Meaning
443 cancel each other out.
Meaning from the net income, in the net income or in the budget, the pension has been deducted as well as the depreciation. But those provisions for pension are not spent right away. Pension is remitted sometime in the middle of the year, calendar year, sometime in July or June.
Oh, I see. So you have 2015 money as cash out, 2016's money as expense accrued, and then the reconciliation
on the
to take 2016's money out of cash.
Yes.
Okay, got it. I'm sorry. I wasn't adding all the entries right. I thought we were still making catch-up payments. So we're caught up. Are we caught up on pension payments network-wide now?
Actually, for 2014, because our latest remittance was 2014, we have only made initial remittance based on the first computation. In June 16, 2015, we remitted the first part of the pension. At that time, the audit was not yet completed. Now, the audit has been completed, but we still need to remit part additional, something like Total Pacifica, something like another 20,000, but no station has enough money to remit the balance. So if we are talking of having fully remitted what we should pay for the audit for the 2014 pension, not yet. We still owe Total Pacifica around 20,000. And the stations have not yet reimbursed KPFA.
Okay. Shoot. So this is a problem because the stations that haven't caught up on pension payments need to budget for that. Can you prepare a schedule of who has to catch up by how much?
Yeah, I have. I can email after this meeting. I can email to the NFC how much each one should remit to KPFA.
Okay, but it, I mean, they're going
to... I'm preparing
they're gonna have
to what KPFA advanced. I also include how much more they should remit.
Uh-huh. Well, okay. My principal concern is the legal obligation we have to our employees to make timely pension contributions.
Yes.
And any station that's not been able to remit the money for that has to budget enough of a surplus that they can do it. So the problem is we've already started going through budgets and signing off on them without taking that into account.
Yeah, the thing is some stations could not even pay their rent.
So I'm not asking for you to prepare a schedule of what's owed to KPFA per se. I'm asking you to prepare a schedule of what's owed for pension deposits in total.
Okay, yeah, okay.
I guess we'll have to get into that in a future meeting. Great, thank you.
Yeah.
And then you're budgeting $50,000 Great Plains software upgrade.
Yeah, that Great Plains, that upgrade will help us save on the audit fee. One thing is, currently, when the auditors request for documents, we still go to the stations. This new Great Plains software, the new version, it allows each station to scan and save in that particular, in every transaction, the pertinent documents. So that, let's say, even national, if we want to review a transaction in the stations, we should be able to look right away what are these things, what are the invoices, what is the detail. And that will work also during the audit so that the cost that we will incur in the Great Plains, we should more than recover when audit time comes because it will shorten the audit period. It should shorten, I mean, it should if everybody cooperates, if all the business managers make sure that everything they record, they use the facilities of Great Plains.
All two of the businessmen, or all three of the business managers.
Yeah, we will make sure. I mean, because we can easily, right on the first week of using the new Great Plains, we can already determine who is not complying.
Okay, and then that leaves... end of year cash balance, theoretically, assuming every station pays all their central services on time.
Yeah, that's the catch.
Of $116,000.
That's the catch, if everybody will pay on time. Because the moment somebody fails, then we're in trouble. That's the catch.
Because questions on the national office budget. I'll take a stack.
Oh, by the way, the meeting, the board meetings, I only provided for one meeting, I think.
Right, you told us that.
How many should we provide? Is it two times, or is this enough?
I would say until we're caught up on pension payments, not a single one. But it's not up to me. It's up to the board. The board hasn't voted. Lydia, you have any idea?
No, I would hope that... you know, absent a significant influx of money that we can get our business done in 1 year. It's not optimum. I personally think two is good, one when you seat the board and one to review the budgets. But we, of course, wouldn't be able to schedule that because we've been late producing the budgets as well. But regardless, we were able to successfully have one meeting. I think you have to have at least one meeting to get to know each other, etc. So I would hope one, unless we can afford more. That's the way that new bylaws amendment reads now, is that anywhere between one and four. So it's up to the board, as you said. There's no way to predict, but at this juncture, I would think that there would be a solid argument to have one, unless we have an unexpected windfall.
Yeah, I think Efren, one is safe. If the board wants to schedule more, it can find money for it outside the budget.
Maybe sometime in July, we provide another 25?
No, one is okay.
Okay, yeah.
Adriana.
Our Paul.
Okay, I'll take a stack. I've got Adriana. I've got our Paul. Who else would like to be on stack?
Michael. Bill.
Michael, Bill, who else would like to be on STAC?
Tony.
Tony. Anyone else? Okay, go ahead, Adriana.
Yes, I already talked about that before you came here. I'm talking about the SCA income. Line 5900. What I was thinking that in my view, it's not fair that is being credited to the national office. I agree that should be at the national office, the money itself, but I think that should be credited to the stations. At least we should credit to the what the station owe, you know, because it's only fair. If they generate that money, it's only fair that we credit that to the stations and not to the national office. I don't know what you think of that.
So, Adriana, let me jump in. I think it's a good conversation. The existing policy is that it goes to the national office. That's what we have to use for budgeting. And if we want to propose a change to the policy, the board can do that. But we have to budget around the existing policy so far, right now. So I don't want us to get off the topic of, like, what's in the budget. R. Paul?
Yeah. Okay, for 50 grand, we'll get an upgraded Great Plains, and they'll be able to scan in all the paper that they get, and that will go somewhere, some central server that Pacifica has that will really work, and will be backed up properly. And what about situations where the business manager is not physically present in the radio station? In that case, you're going to have somebody at the radio station scanning in whatever the paper is and sending it out, and that sounds kind of clerical, and I know that one station doesn't have clerks, and I'm wondering if other stations might also be in a situation where they could fall behind or end up not filing the paper properly, and then it becomes lost by the time it's audit time. So I'm wondering about a detail there, and I also think we need to discuss the reality of all the stations paying central services fees on time. I think we need to discuss that reality. So those are two things I have questions about.
About the Great Plains, if the business manager or if somebody prepares a check, if he has the time to prepare the check, we expect him to also have the time to include in the Great Plains the corresponding document. That's my only answer. If he had the time to make the check, he should have the time to document the transaction.
Bill, point of information?
Bill, you're two items down on the stack. Everyone's got a question.
Well, I was just going to let you know we were off the stream for about 2 minutes there again. We're back on. Sorry.
Oh, okay. Thanks. Efren, the second part of our Paul's question?
Which one? The payments of central services?
Yeah, what happens if a bunch of stations don't pay?
Well, as I mentioned, that is the catch in our cash balance. If stations do not pay, then we have a big problem.
Well, I predict a big problem. I mean, we're...
Do you have any solutions, R. Paul?
I don't really have any, but I think we need to at least discuss this fact. I mean, we can look at it, and that's why we have catch-up central services payments, because people haven't been paying... Stations haven't been paying them. And I think that if we're saying, well, it has to all go right this time or we're up a creek, that we have to, you know, start talking about that, because there is a very serious probability that we're going up that creek or have to do something about central services payments, because you can't say that they haven't been coming in right for years, but now they're all going to come in right on time. That's magical thinking.
Michael?
I had two questions. One is related to this. I'd like a clear explanation of why we treat central services the way we do. Is it some kind of requirement of accounting principles because it's a transfer between units that accepts it out? In other words, we don't treat it as an expense item in the station budget, and we don't treat it as a revenue item in the national office budget. It's listed separately, and I think that's one of the things that's led to the problems of the stations not paying, is that somehow they see it as outside their operating budget. If we saw it as part of the operating expenses of each station, maybe under administrative expenses to pay the central services, it would drive home to people that they have to station.
Michael, the problem is they don't have the money. It's not that it's how it's classified in the budgets.
This is Lydia.
Sorry. I'll put you on the stack, Lydia. I apologize for interjecting. Billionaire.
Okay, excuse me, I didn't finish. I had two things.
Oh, go ahead, Michael. I'm sorry.
Is that some kind of accounting principle that has to be kept separate from either revenue or expenses? Can everyone answer that? And then I have another issue I wanted to raise.
I'm not getting a good connection from Michael. Could somebody repeat what he just said and ask?
He asked why we chose central services the way we do, which is not as revenue nor expenses.
Yes, is that some kind of accounting principle because it's an internal exchange, transfer?
Central services on the part of national and PRA, that is income. On the part of the station, central services would be expense.
But we don't show it there in any of these budgets.
Yeah. It is shown as a reduction. It is being applied to the expense. That's why you would notice we put net expense on row 33.
Mm-hmm.
So that from the total operating expense in row 25, we deduct the total services income in row 32, and in row 33, that is the net expenses. That
no, I see how it's done. All right.
That's how we have always been presenting.
Okay.
We can revise the presentation depending on the decision of the NFC. We can always revise.
Okay, thank you. My other question was about the payment for upgrading Great Plains. There was some discussion a couple of years ago about the desirability of having a software platform that incorporated both our membership and sort of donor information and the accounting. And I'm wondering if anybody ever looked at what that would cost versus this upgrade.
Maybe I could I should mention the advantage of having the documents, the corresponding documents supporting each accounting transaction right away on the part of national office.
I understand that. It's a different question.
I mean, because we can immediately review how appropriate was the transaction, if it is properly supported, do we have the right supporting papers? Because our concern here is during the audit time. When the audit time comes, it takes months, more than 2 months, to get all those documents, whereas right away they are there. Because each business manager has to comply, or he can look for another job.
Efren,
no.
That's not the question. The question is, our membership departments, where we have to reconcile the membership department list with our financial, with the business office deposits and so forth. That reconciliation has always held us up. The question does the new Great Plains help to facilitate that, or is there a program, another program that perhaps the auditors have mentioned that could facilitate that? We've asked before in years past, such a program did not exist, but I don't know about the current auditors.
Even in the current setup, MEMSIS has no reconciliation with what is recorded in the Great Plains. What I mean to say is MEMSIS, we are able to use the advantage of having MEMSIS because we know who are pledging, who are paying. But in the Great Plains, we record the income as we collect. So that basically somebody has each station there should be somebody who should reconcile what has been collected against what has been recorded as collectibles in the MEMSIS. But for accounting purposes, we are recording as revenue only what has been collected. In the MEMSIS, it records all the pledges we received.
We know that, but the question is there is no interface with this new Great Plains.
None.
Thank you.
Okay, I have Bill next.
Okay, thank
Bill.
You. Yeah, thanks. First, on the pensions, both the 403B and the other pension, are they? I'm still not clear what's behind and what's caught up. Are they both behind?
They are basically both current.
403B is current.
Except that in the pension for 2014, the stations have not yet fully funded by a total of 20,000 Pacifica-wide, the 2014.
Wasn't 2014 due on June 30th, the deposit?
Yes. The thing is, as of June 15, the audit of the pension was still ongoing, so we remitted what was in the records. And then in the final audit, it was 85,000, I think, and we remitted only 65. So that the 20,000 is supposed to be remitted by all the stations. That's a total. I don't have the individual amounts from each station.
So we're caught up for 2012, 2013, all of that?
2012 and 2013, only KPFA, I think, has provided, and I think also WBAI. The other stations did not provide for 2012 and 2013.
But has money been deposited in the account, you know, for the employees who were owed money from those years?
My understanding is only WBAI and KPFK did.
Okay, well, let me ask another question because I have time
Sorry.
To get short. On the Great Plains upgrade, I agree it sounds like a great idea, but it's only going to help because to make it easier to get the information that goes along with the supporting documentation that goes along with each entry. But the trouble is we already have problems with people not entering information, just the plain old financial information to Great Plains. And I assume that's, the upgrade is not going to help with that. It seems like, that's a managerial problem, but we have at least KPFK and WBAI, unless I'm wrong, we're still having a big lag between when revenue or expenses happen and when they get entered. Is that right?
I think would like to give some additional information on the Great Plains. The Great Plains we have was, I think, something like 12, 15 years ago, and most of the time, it always fails. That's why the suggestion was to replace it. Sometimes the business, just like today, the business manager, Sam, called me and said they could not get into the Great Plains. A while ago, they were in the Great Plains, and then after a few minutes, they called it kicked out of the Great Plains. So we always have to restart the Great Plains here in the national office, the server. Our Great Plains is so old that it is now beginning to fail.
Okay, I guess this is a managerial issue, but I think we need to get a commitment that people are actually going to enter the information and keep it up to date. Otherwise, there's no point in having the upgrade, at least for those stations, because it'll help the stations that are using it and keeping it up to date. Is that correct?
good point.
You know, one of our problems is that our accounting software is so antique that it's hard to bring people in who know how to work on it. It's not what anyone gets trained on anymore.
Yeah, and I think upgrading it sounds like a good idea. I've been just saying it's not going to solve all the problems of having the information available to the auditor and to the national office, because you still have to have people using it at each station.
If you would look at the quotation on the Great Plains, each user is $3,000. Of the $50,000, each user is $3,000 additional. So what we will be saving is $3,000 per station that we do not include in the upgrading of the Great Plains. And besides, I think it is all or nothing. What I mean to say is, if we upgrade, then there's no Great Plains that will become available to the other stations who will not join. It is all or nothing, I think. If you go to the page of Great Plains at the end, at the rightmost tab, saying Great Plains price code, you will see that each additional full user is $3,000.
Nancy to the stack.
Gotcha, Nancy.
Thank you. Thanks.
Thank you, Bill. Tony, you're next.
Just a quick question on how many full-time employees are you projecting that we have now, and you're projecting on 2016 for the national office?
For national office, we have the executive director, the CFO, a friend, me, and then we have a senior accountant. There are two. One is the admin, and then we have two part-times. One is from KPFK, Jonathan Alexander, who maintains the computers.
Efren, it's on your salary tab. It's 9.6 FTEs, Tony.
Okay.
Anything else, Tony?
Roughly on those... how much are we talking about on those pensions that are outstanding? That's roughly a general estimate.
I asked that again. I did not get it.
How much money is still owed on pensions?
On pension right now is about $20,000 for 2014.
But in total, including 2012 and 2013?
If I understand it right, there's no... If one station has failed as of a certain date, there's no way we can update the pension. There's no more chance to upgrade the 2012 and 2013. We cannot update them anymore. The period has passed.
Okay. Set that aside for a moment, Efren. I think that's wrong. I know you can't backdate contributions to the pension plan, but you can make the employees whole who are owed money under the terms of their union contracts.
Like a bonus.
And we will probably be forced to do that if we don't do it of our own volition soon. The question is how much above what we actually deposited were we supposed to deposit? How much is still outstanding?
You mean if each station will update the 2012 and 2013?
That's correct.
I'll have to email you. I'll have to get the figures. I cannot answer right away. I don't have the exact figure right now. But after the meeting, I can email that also to the stations. So that will be the pension, yeah.
Could you also email it to the finance committee?
Yeah, to the NFC, yes.
Thank you.
2013. I think that's what we discussed earlier, right? The pension, where I said I'll be emailing to the NFC. Did I forget something?
Yes. Yes, you did. Thank you. Lydia, you're next.
No, that was... I don't think so.
All right. Nancy, you're next. Can't hear you, Nancy.
Hello, sorry, I was muted. I was wondering on this upgrade to Great Plains. It's so old. Is it possible to, like, look into one of these open source softwares that is...
Like QuickBooks?
Huh?
You mean like QuickBooks?
No, like open source, like LibreOffice. There's ones for accounting as well. LibreOffice doesn't cost anything. It's open source, and I understand some of the software that's open source is really good, and it's very, you know, up to date. And I was wondering if we could look into that, look into getting something that couldn't cost us, that, you know, all the stations could use and would save us money on.
Very fitting.
I don't know if that's a viable idea or not, but if it is, could we look into that instead of getting an upgrade of Great Plains?
This is Lydia.
Our Paul for sure.
Okay, I've got Lydia, and then I've got our Paul. Go ahead, Lydia.
Okay, so...
And actually, we are at time, so I'll close the stack after this.
Okay, so just as I had mentioned before, we've had our auditors, we ask our auditors, I don't know if in this last audit, but certainly prior to that, every year when we have an audit, the question comes up. And at least prior to this last year, the answer has always been, even though accountants and auditors would prefer something else, they have looked at other software, and for the type of business that we have, which is with the five units and the having to deal with MEMSIS and all of the issues that are peculiar to Pacifica, that this still seems to be the best fit until something else comes along. But our auditors have kept an eye out for something that would be better suited, realizing some of the pitfalls of Great Plains, but nevertheless, and by the way, a lot of people know Great Plains from my secular inquiry of accountants, but nevertheless, that it's not like we don't ask every year, and so we rely heavily on our auditors because they're the ones that deal with it, with the integration of our units.
Paul?
Yeah. Yes, probably this kind of complicated Great Plains stuff is probably not FOSS yet, free open source software. However, I think it really would be worthwhile for Pacifica to look into going to something like LibreOffice, OpenOffice, something like that, because otherwise you're spending a lot of money on Microsoft, whereas you can spend zero on the open source software, and you can still hire people to train everybody on it, and it is very similar to Evil Empire software, and I think Pacifica could save some money by standardizing on that the way some entire nation states have done. That's all.
But you're not proposing that for the accounting package?
No, that wouldn't work. No, the accounting package is totally different, but for stuff
right.
Like, you know, people are using Microsoft Word and Excel and all this, hey, go with LibreOffice or whatever, and go with that. It's very similar, and it doesn't cost money.
Okay, we're at the end of our discussion time on the national budget. I would not ask the committee to vote on a budget. It only got 2 hours before the meeting. So I think we'll have to revisit what we want to do with this at our next meeting, and would welcome your best proposals about how to plan for the contingency or the eventuality of some stations not making timely central service payments, as well as any other issues that you want to flag. And Efren, we really need to get clarity on what's owed with the pensions, because I think we need a concrete plan.
Email right away.
We need a concrete plan for catching up, and that's going to fall on the budgets of the stations where the money is owed. So they need to know what they're planning around. Thank you very much for your time, and please stick around if you want to be here for the discussion of other budgets. We're on to the Pacifica Radio Archive budget. We got a revised version from PRA over the weekend sent out to the committee. It is not significantly different from what we saw last time, except they appear to have adjusted their credit card expenses in line with the ratio of expense that they experienced this year. And they made a couple other cost trims to be positive on their bottom line, leaving them with basically a break-even budget. But the main issue with the budget, as I see it, is they're counting on twice as much listener support as they got this year. And you heard Brian lay out his reasons why he hopes to count on that on the last call. Does anyone have outstanding questions they want to deal with the PRA budget before we get into wordsmithing a motion?
Nancy, just an agenda question. I think I must have miscalculated when Jerry should be on the call. When are we expecting to do WPFW's budget again?
Probably in about 10, 15 minutes.
Oh, okay. All right, thank you.
Okay. My proposal for the PRA budget is that we recommend its approval with the proviso that the PNB require PRA to submit a written contingency plan for cutting up to $80,000 a year in spending by December 1st if the fund drive falls short of its goal. The fund drive is currently scheduled to run November 16th and 17th. Sorry, 17th and 18th, Tuesday and Wednesday. So they should know whether they've made their goal or not by the first of the next month. And if they fall dramatically short of what they're hoping to, they should be prepared to make cuts immediately because there's no other money to cover their expenses. At least, that's my feeling. What do you all think? I'll take a snack on discussion.
By the way, we're offline again. I'm sorry. I'm going to try and call Otis, see if he can stream us.
Okay, great.
Should we proceed? Whether we're online or not?
Yes.
Okay.
By law, we have to make efforts to webcast, not succeed. The motions in your budget as, well, in the budget I originally sent out, it was numbered 4A. Discussion?
This is Lydia.
Go ahead, Lydia.
Didn't Brian lay out some other fundraising prospects? I mean, I think to say that if he doesn't raise it in the next, with, you know, in the next couple of days of the fund drive, that's the cutoff. Weren't there other things, for example, the holiday online downloads and all of that he was, some of the newer stuff? I think it should be given at least the same quarterly review that stations are given. I mean, the holiday season is a big deal for archives, for gift giving.
Yes, but they budget that separately from their fund drive goals. This is if their fund drive falls short of its goal. I mean, the difference is no other station is saying we're expecting double the listener support we raised this year.
And that's what their projection is for the fund drive?
Yes. And remember, Brian had reasons, right? It was they're planning to be on every station instead of some stations not being able to carry them.
Mm-hmm.
They're planning 3 days of fundraising in total.
Mm-hmm.
And they're planning to do what they're calling a silent drive, but which will apparently involve some carts on stations. I wasn't totally clear for several days after the two-day drive.
Mm-hmm.
But those are things they didn't manage in the preceding year.
Mm-hmm.
And it added to the network's financial stress.
Mm-hmm.
So my feeling is not asking them to make cuts, but to have a plan ready to go. In other words, what happens if they come up, as they did last year, with half the money that they were planning on in that fund drive? Who's going to pick up the tab?
Adriana?
Go ahead, Adriana.
Yeah, I have a problem with that because we passed last year when the PNB approved budget, we passed some provisos but nothing happened. I mean, what happened with the, when the provisos that we passed are not being upon? You know, I mean, I have some specific concerns with the expenses of PRI, and one of them is that I can see that the personal cost is bigger of some of the other units that are generating much, much more money. I don't know if... I don't want to sound really, and I don't want to say that they don't deserve it and they are not doing a great job. That what I'm saying is, I worry because the personal cost is so high compared with all the other units. And you know, I want to know what will happen, because we feel happy that we pass a proviso. But then, if nothing is being done, what we will do?
So what would you propose as an alternative course of action?
I believe that, like I said, some of these need to be talking and take a decision, because I have some ideas how to cut in personal costs. But, you know, I some of them I don't think that is, I don't want to talk about this in open session, but for me it's very clear that we are similar to the situation that we had before. You know, we cannot, and it's not any more money in the foundation to keep covering. It's not that they don't deserve it, because then when I say these kind of things, people are thinking that I'm attacking the radio archives, and I think that it's invaluable. But the reality is, somebody needs to have the money. If we do not have the money, we cannot keep spending this amount of money in salaries. It's just common sense. And we keep acting like this will happen. Okay. I disagree totally. I think that I don't see what happened with the proviso that we were so happy about last year. Nothing happened. And we were asking for a cut that was even smaller, right? And nothing was cut. I'm sorry. I think that have solution, but the solution that I have needs to be an executive session.
Is this Serene?
Okay, I've got Serene. Who else? Go ahead, Serene.
Okay, so the affiliate program has, and I know that money is very much needed, but since the service that PRA provides extends to the affiliates, is it possible that we could make or come up with some sort of formula for some of the money going into the coming from the affiliate program to go into income for the archives?
Theoretically, you could, but, I mean, you'd be taking it from somewhere it's already being spent. So you'd either cut at the archives or cut at the national office. It's not adding any money to the pie.
Right, but I'm saying since the work that PRA does includes supporting the affiliate stations, it seems reasonable that some of the income that we get from affiliate stations would go there. And yes, that does create another problem for the national office, and which means the stations, you know, the other units would have to find a way to, which is easier said than done, to find a way to increase the income that is currently going into the national office. But I do think, to be fair to the archives, that they should be entitled to something, some cut of that.
Bill, I'm back.
Right.
We're just going to try to stream it.
You know, which then raises the question of, does every station that produces a program that's syndicated through the affiliates program entitled to a cut of their revenue? I mean...
Well, I don't think that's equivalent. Stations have a way to raise money. They have access to the archives. Do not. except through a station.
Adriana?
Yeah, Adriana?
I'm sorry that I'm the one that would say it, but I personally believe that at least we need to cut 10% in personnel costs. And we need to say it now. You know, we need to say it now. I mean, it's nothing else. We hope that everybody pay. We hope for everything to happen. But when I see the personnel cost of the Pacifica Radio Archive and I look at some of the units, and I said, that is not possible. We know it's not fair, yes, but it's not fair to bankrupt this foundation. We need to find other ways. And we need, it, the only thing that I can see here that we can get on is personnel. It's nothing else. I hope that somebody can come up with a better idea, but I don't want the promises. What I want is what we will do now, today, to put this in perspective. Didn't happen last year when we asked for that to happen, but didn't happen. Well, now need to be no improviso, need to be a cut right now. And if you want, I can put it like a motion. To cut 10% in personnel costs for Pacifica Radio Archives.
So that's about $40,000?
Yes. It's better than nothing.
Yeah, if you want to make a motion, Adriana, send it out in writing. No one's confused about
10% in personnel costs. It means $40,000.
So is that a request to the archive for a revised budget with a $40,000 cut? Or is that a proviso that they cut $40,000 after approval?
No, I think that we need to cut it before approval. That is not an option. We, like you said, the proviso, I agree with you, we will have that difference. It will be almost another $40,000, right? But we need to cut today. We cannot approve a budget, but by itself we know that it's, again, it's a fantasy budget. I mean, I'm sorry, but I cannot.
Are you?
Okay, do you have language, Arpal?
No, it's gone back and forth. I think somebody could probably put it together pretty easily, but I don't have it written down yet.
At 10% in personnel costs, For the 2016 PRI budget, it means $40,000. $40,000.
This is Lydia.
Go ahead, Lydia.
Okay, so this is an amendment to your motion.
I don't think I ever formally moved my motion. I threw it out for discussion.
Okay. And so.
You know, my motion was to approve the budget or recommend the budget and also recommend the proviso. Adriana's motion is to send the budget back for more work, specifically cuts.
Can I read what I have?
Please, Arpal.
I have that 10% in personnel cuts costs be cut from the FY16 PRA budget. This will save $40,000.
Yes.
Discussion on that? That's the motion on the floor. Other motions can be up for discussion if it fails. Or if people want to propose amendments or substitutes.
There's Bill.
I've got Bill. Who else? Go ahead, Bill.
And I'm sorry I was off for a little while I was trying to get hold of Otis, and he is going to try to get us on. But did you discuss the note that Brian DeJesus sent us, that you forwarded to us on the 19th? Yeah, you sent it to us on the 19th, and it was explaining why he thought the budget was reasonable. I can read that if you don't recall it or can't find it, but
I summarized it, 3 days of fundraising instead of two, getting on all five stations instead of some of them, and doing a silent drive after the 2 days of fundraising. Did I miss anything?
And they did cut some expenses. So, okay. I just want to make sure that was covered.
Yeah, let's see what they've already cut.
They did
total expenses.
$15,000 already.
Yeah, they dropped a position, a grant-funded position, halfway through 2015, or partway through 2015. I don't know if it was half. 2015, they spent $600,000. They're proposing to spend $490,000 in 2016. But again, a lot of the spending in 2015 was grant money. It was money in, money out. Preservation money.
Well, I guess my point is that they've already made some cuts, but you know, which is I think correct, the correct thing to do.
Okay. Any further discussion on Adriana's motion? So I'm curious, Adriana, earlier you requested an executive session. Do you separately have something regarding PRA's budget that you want to discuss in a future executive session? Or does this cover it?
Yes.
Okay.
Because I believe that we've solved some of these problems. But I cannot talk in open session, obviously.
Okay. We'll come back to that when we schedule our next meeting. Adriana's motion is to request the archive resubmit a budget with a 10% personnel cost reduction. R. Paul, can you call the roll?
Okay, I didn't have all of that. I just had that 10% in personnel cost. So you want to have that PRA resubmit their budget still there?
Yeah, with a 10% reduction in personnel costs.
Okay, rearrange the wording. That PRA resubmit their FY16 budget with a 10% reduction in personnel costs, comma, this will save $40,000. Right?
Yes.
Okay. Lydia Brazan.
No.
Adriana Kasanov.
Yes.
Bill Crozier.
Yes.
Brian Edwards Tiekert.
Abstain.
R. Paul Martin. Yes. Tony Norman.
Yes.
Michael Novick.
Abstain. Am I audible?
I hear you. Serene Roberts. Serene Roberts. Nancy Sorden.
No.
Barbara Whipperman. Going back. Serene Roberts?
No.
Okay. 4-4. 3 against. 2 abstentions.
Resolution carries. Our Paul, if you send me the language tonight.
I'm sorry. I thought he said 4-4.
4-3.
Yes. 4 yeses to 3 noes means the motion carries.
Oh, he said 3. I thought he said 4. 4 yes, 4 no.
No, he meant 4 affirmative, but he said 4 F-O-R.
I see. Okay.
That means we're done with the Pacifica Radio Archives budget for now, and we're on to WPFW. So, Nancy, you said you had Jerry on the call?
Jerry's on.
Hey, Jerry.
Hi there.
All right, it's late where you are.
Yes.
Okay, so what are we looking at?
Go ahead, Nancy.
Oh, no, go ahead, Jerry. Sorry.
We have the latest budget that was submitted today by Markeisha. Make sure that we're all on the same document. Let's see. This was sent out today. Is everybody on that document?
I sent out last night.
I'm sorry, last night.
To whom?
I believe I forwarded it to the National Finance. Yeah, I did. Or Nancy sent it to the National Finance list. It would have been 8:28 p.m. on the West Coast, 11:28 on the East Coast.
Hi.
We feel that we've got a realistic budget that we've completed. Line 42, we're showing a surplus of $22,372. I have a small adjustment that has to be made in item 41 under capital expenditures for the month of October. We had a capital expenditure of $2,000. That would effectively reduce our displayed surplus down to $20,372. That $2,000 is towards the HD project, which is underway at WPFW. We are sending one engineer, flying him to Houston. He will be picking up the HD transmitter from KPFT, renting a Penske truck, and driving from Houston to Washington, D.C. That was the most economical way that we could achieve transporting the HD combiner and the Armstrong transmitter. So that's an additional $2,000 in expenses that occurs on item 41, capital expenditures for October. We just finished our fall drive. We don't have a full tally yet, but we are just under 50% of our stated goal, which was $350,000. So right now, we see an income of about $175,000. We'll be slightly lower than that. It's all being tallied up right now. That doesn't appear in our accounts immediately. As of today, we have just under $60,000 in our account because, for one, we had to pay on several bills. We just sent out a $6,000 payment to PRA, which represents slightly more than half of the balance that is owed for central services to PRA. We have to meet some more commitments here in Washington to keep operational. We have to negotiate with the power utility. On payment, there is a discrepancy in billing, which we're working on now. We have a December drive that will be coming up towards the end of the year. The expectation is rather high for the December drive because the trend is already there that those drives tend to do quite well. This will be my first December drive with WPFW, so I have to look back to see what the performance has been in the past. As regards increasing revenue and cuts, I don't know if this is appropriate for this discussion, But WPFW is looking at other methodologies for fundraising other than fund drives. We've already experienced listener fatigue when we do our 21-day fund drives, as well as programmer fatigue in pitching for those fund drives. And with another one coming around the corner, we have to start planning for December right away. The additional revenue streams that WPFW is exploring, I think, is something that we may have to look at across the board, changing methodologies for all of the stations and perhaps even for the network. We are getting significant gains in our community partnerships, in our special events, in harvesting or cultivating our major donors. And we're also working diligently with social media, looking at crowdfunding and actively pursuing grants, trying to get away from our dependency on the fund drives. Immediately with the HD project, we did not put that project into the budget, neither from the expense side or the revenue side, because the revenue side is largely unknown. We have no trends to follow, and our expectations don't have real hard number bases for them. We do expect performance, which is why we're undertaking that project. We're not just doing it to be doing it. And we're trying to keep the costs as low as possible. Originally, when we were going to put it into the budget, we had estimated that the cost of bringing that operation into full operation was going to be at around $10,000, with adamant negotiations, we were able to reduce that estimate to $7,500. Again, not a budget item. We couldn't put the project into the budget. And of that estimated $7,500, we just recently spent the $2,000 so that we can physically move the HD combiner and transmitter from Houston to Washington, D.C. We expect for it to go operational before the end of the year, and we expect to modify the budgets accordingly when we do our quarterly reports and analysis. We should have some new hard numbers to plug into the budget. But as it stands right now, the budget is, as submitted, is balanced with a surplus of $22,000. Well, and actually now $20,000 and $372,000, accounting for the $2,000 that was just recently spent.
Okay, I'll take a stack on questions.
Bill?
I heard Bill first, then our Paul. Anyone else? Go ahead,
Adriana.
Bill. Got you, Adriana. Go ahead, Bill.
Oh, Jerry, I'm really glad you're looking at other revenue possibilities. I think all our stations need to be doing that. But I am a little concerned because you're projecting about $100,000 more for next year than you had this year. And meanwhile, I believe you had a deficit of, what was it last year? Over
170,000.
So, I'm wondering if, and I do hope you're successful at all this, but rather than projecting to spend more or spend as much as you have budgeted, it might be better to try to pay down some of that debt, and especially because of the central services, it's it's hurting PRA and the national office so much. And of course, it'd be nice to rebuild some reserves. All of our stations should try to do that. Do you think that's possible?
Absolutely. We had a discussion about that tonight, and probably a good portion of what we're viewing as surplus will be used to pay down that debt.
Well, you're not projecting that much of a surplus, though.
No, we're not. And we recently did a transfer, if you will, that addressed some of that debt. I have to work out the math with Efren to see how much WPFW actually owes. There's a slight discrepancy in his figures and our figures.
Okay. Well, I know it's been accumulating for several years, and so, I mean, I guess my suggestion that we're trying to do for all the stations is try to use proven revenue that we've had in the last year or the last few years, budget around that, and then if you're successful, as of course we hope you are, in getting additional revenue, then that could go towards, instead of operating expenses, it could go to help, you know, repay some of the debt, and especially the central services to other units, and rebuild your reserves if you can do that.
Bill? Could you show me on this budget where what you're talking about?
You said several years.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know exactly how much you owe from social services over the last few years, but as my understanding, it's been accumulating some. Well, it shows $171,000 debt for 2015.
Where?
That's AG 42.
Deficit.
Deficit, yes. Sorry. That's not cash flow, and that doesn't show central services
which
cash
tab?
Payments.
Sorry.
List the main budget tab.
I'm searching for that also.
AG 42.
The 2016 budget tab?
Yes.
Right. What it shows is that you spent $170,000 more than you had coming in, which we're assuming the bulk of that got financed by not paying central services. That's what you're saying, right, Bill?
Oh, okay.
That's my assumption,
okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And maybe there's other debts that you need to pay. I don't know. But now, realize sometimes that, you know, the annual
budget,
figure.
Yeah, in the budget, just looking at income real quickly.
I'm having a slight problem navigating also AG
42, and then the previous year, T40 showed about a $50,000 deficit.
So for June, June needs another $40,000 that we had added for our moving expenses, to cover moving expenses that were paid earlier, but we had been using our just regular money, but... So we have a moving fund, and we were able to use that in June because we had expenses for moving that were justified to use that moving fund, and that's not reflected in the June actual. It's not going to be
from a restricted donation. Okay, I remember that. Yeah,
but it's not going to be recurring money. But
okay.
Yeah. It makes that line $171,000 less.
Yeah.
And also some of these July, August, September figures still we're not real sure about those. So
I think it would make me feel better if I knew you didn't know too many much in central services, but I'm afraid you probably do. And I was also looking at the cash tab, and I see a negative cash balance almost every month.
Yeah.
On line 46 of the cash flow.
For 2016?
Yes. Which means you're probably going to have even more trouble paying central services, even if your other projections are correct.
Yeah, it bottoms out in April at negative $100,000.
April at what now? $100,000, $99,675?
Yeah.
So that means some debts aren't getting it paid. if the projections are correct.
Okay. So, I'm sorry, I have a naive question. How can, if we have a deficit, if we have a positive on the income statement, how come the net cash balance is going to be negative?
Well, part of the problem is that you start out with a $74,000 negative cash balance on this for September.
Oh, because as in FY 2015?
Yeah.
I see. Okay.
But there's still it accumulates anyway. The $99,000 in April exceeds the $74,000 negative that you start with. So.
Okay. So these are
going to be negative.
These are accruals. This negative. Cash balance is mostly accruals, right?
No, so these are supposed to be your actual cash on hand. The opening balance might be off because I doubt you had negative $74,000 in your bank account.
I don't think our cash on hand was minus $171,000. That's not possible.
No, the budget tab, that's your deficit. That's how much more you spent than you raised. On the cash flow tab, that's supposed to be money in the bank. And it's showing an opening balance in October of negative 74.
No.
So that needs to be corrected. That'll improve your balances. But Michael's correct. It won't be sufficient to make you positive every month.
I'd be 74 negative in September. It's what you have as our cash on hand, which is not what is reality.
I've never seen a bank statement that said you have negative $74,000 in it.
Right. Somehow.
It just indicates something's wrong.
Yeah, okay.
You have the same thing in KPSK.
Okay. Our Paul is next on the stash. Were you done, Bill?
Yeah, thank you.
Our Paul, you're up.
Yeah, okay. Some of mine is the cash flow projections in here. And if we look at on the budget, the annual budget tab, on line 42, it looks like only 4 of 12 months are in the black.
Yeah.
And, you know, so, and that, but you end up 22 in the black at the end. It looks very, very close to the edge with that kind of thing. And you know, if anything doesn't go quite right, you go off the edge. So I don't know. I would be a little skittish about this particular projection for the 22 surplus there, given how, you know, 4 of 12 are really good and the others are in the red. So,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm just expressing that I have qualms about this one.
Yeah. We tried to be very conservative. We noticed that in the last year's budgets that we were, you know, higher than we always came in, and so we think we identified part of the problem in the budget creation process, and that was that somehow our listener support also had these other income sources folded into it, and then we put those back in, so we were like double entering the web income that is already represented in the listener support and et cetera for the other income streams. But this year we had Markeisha like take out all, you know, subtract from our listener support all these other web income sources so that we weren't double entering these other income sources. What we have done differently this year is we've added the December fund drive, and it's kind of conservative compared to the last time that we did it. We did it in December 2013,
and it was $123,000 that year. It wasn't done last year because our general manager at that time felt like they had extra money that we didn't really need to burn out the listeners and the programmers. So we didn't do one last year. And if you'll notice, last December, our income for listener support was $75,000. So I'm not sure that's... I just saw different figures when I was looking at this before, but okay, so that's lower. That might be a double entry figure. I thought it was lower than that. I think it was lower than that. I think it was around 40 or 50 in actuality. And the difference is that this other income got folded into that listener support. So December is actually a hard figure compared to the year that we actually did do a December fund drive. And we feel like December is really an opportunity that we have missed in the past, and because it supposedly is one of the best months that nonprofits raising money based, because people want to get a tax break and they want to get Christmas presents or make a donation in honor of someone for Christmas or whatever. So we're pretty optimistic about having the December fund drive, and we think that 109 figure is actually kind of conservative.
Adriana.
Yes. Hi, Nancy.
Hi.
First of all, I'm sorry if I lost explanation, but what is rent income? What you expect for $23,400? What is that rent income?
We have sublet part of our suite, and they are paying a monthly rent to us. That contract expires in March, and we'll be renegotiating that contract. It was based on a very small amount of space that our clients were using within the suite. They have expanded considerably. They're using two more of our studios within the suite, and we will be renegotiating a contract towards the end of March.
Okay. But my question is, you don't have anything for 2015. You said that you are renegotiating in March means that you... I don't know where that income is in 2015.
It's in the listener support.
Oh, it's included in listener support.
That folded into listener support.
Yeah. Okay. The second question is about, do you have, we are almost at the end of October. Do you have an idea of your numbers for October? Are close to what you are projecting here?
Numbers in terms of the
listener support.
That would be our fund drive, and we are very close to getting our numbers. They're very slow to accrue. There's a delay in credit card processing. I'm looking at October right now. Let me look at listener support. Ah, okay. What's on the budget right now? I'm seeing $199,575. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. We expect that number to be slightly lower. Based on the drive that we just had. Again, the performance was around 50%. So that number is going to be lowered by maybe $15,000.
You're talking about pledges or fulfillment?
We're talking about pledges.
Okay. Okay. And the last question is, let's see. I have a problem with the with the salary tab, because I can see here that, oh shoot, I cannot find it now, but I can see that in some of them you have the title and some of them you have the name. Is there any option that we can have there the titles? Because, I mean, it's easier for me to understand what are we talking about.
Okay. So for, we don't have, let's see, business manager is Marquisha.
No. I'm sorry. No, I'm not asking you to give me those names like that. What I'm saying, you can put it later on in that tab, and then when I look at the tab, I understand what everything means.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I prefer you to put that in the tab, and then we can check, because I see all the rest, and I don't see the titles. I see names, but no titles, and some of them I see type positions, but no names. Okay. That was a question, isn't it?
Okay.
You don't need to give me that now. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. This is Brian. I put myself on Stack Next. I feel like we're kind of burying the lead. You said your fund drive fell short by half?
Yes. The primary reason for that performance is because we did not offer premiums on this fund drive. We have had a problem with prior fund drives and the premiums, and we have quite a few complaints from listeners not receiving their premiums. At this point, the integrity of the station is at stake, and we have to make a decision as to whether or not we would be offering premiums, and we made the decision not to. There are associated costs with the premiums, the mailings, actually acquiring certain premiums, and with this fund drive, we could not in good conscience offer premiums.
Right, so that's an understandable decision, but it seems like if that's how you're going to fundraise, you should be planning for goals that are half of what's in this budget and decreasing your premium expense proportionately. But you're not going to make it all up on the expense side. I mean, at the end of the day, there has to be enough money to pay the bills you're planning on.
Yes. Well, for instance, for the December drive, we're going into planning phase now, actually. And trying to put premiums in place to make sure we actually have the premiums to offer, so that we won't have a 50% performance with the drive. Typically, I believe drives perform, if not at 100%, somewhere more in the area of 80%. And we typically set our goals high with the expectation of them not being at 100%.
So what was the goal for this drive? Did you say 350? But this budget's built on a goal of 400,000.
For $400,000.
The budget says the goal for the October 15 drive is 400,000.
Where do you see that, Brian?
Where do you see?
That's the fund drive pledge details tab on row 12.
Fund drive pledge details tab on row 12. Yes, I see that.
So, I mean, it just seems like the budget's already counting on six figures of money that you know you don't have.
T- taking into account that $400,000, you would be correct. This is my first time seeing the $400,000, as our goal was $350,000.
I mean, look, my heart goes out to you. I can't imagine what it's like to come up 50% short on a fund drive, but it means that the budget we're looking at, based on the information we have about how things are actually going, it's not a realistic plan for the rest of the year. The money that this budget's counting on coming in from that fund drive is going to be a fraction of what's in here. And it means
saving for you're talking about this month in particular, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And hopefully you're right, and the only reason you were short of goal is because you weren't doing premiums. But I would also be concerned that future fund drives might not reach their goals. Like, it might be more than just the lack of premiums.
There were other factors, premiums being the primary factor. Quite frankly, critical members of our staff were quite sick during the drive. That included myself. We actually all came in as much as we could, and most of us worked beyond, but that did impact the drive also. Quite frankly, I think that the drive was not adequately planned in advance. Certain people that we were going to bring on board to help us with the drive were not available due to family emergencies. And these are things that could happen in the future, yes. But the prior drives that were done most recently, we did a mini drive that performed very close to 100%, and with proper planning, I think we will get very close to our goal. So I don't think that we'll see another drive as low as this one.
So if I take the spreadsheet and I put in $175,000, which is what you say you raised, for that fund drive, it instantly changes your bottom line from positive 20,000 to negative 57,000. It's now a deficit budget unless there's a plan for either cutting more expenses or raising the money somewhere else in the year.
Yes, I see where that's going to change the bottom line. Again, we have no trend. We have no track record for all of our new projects. We expect a lot out of them. Minus $57,000 is a bit of a shocker.
I'm sorry, I don't see how you got the minus 57 if the difference between 199 and 175.
No, he got that. There's a difference between 400,000. There's a difference between 400,000 and 175,000.
At 70% fulfillment, yeah. I mean, the budget applies based on what you actually raise. This budget's going to forecast your credit card costs, your premium costs, things like that, and it takes away 30%. Your budget takes away 30% on fulfillment.
Wouldn't that be less than on the credit card?
Yeah, that's why dropping the amount raised by $225,000 does not take $225,000 off the bottom line.
Okay, I'm going to have to talk to you. I just wanted to, Jerry, to mention one thing also about the our plan to, you know, make our integrity whole with respect to the premiums so that we can get back to using premiums in the future.
Well, again, the complaints actually date back a few years. And the effect that it has on the listenership, at least in terms of supporting the station, has damaged the station. We've clearly announced that we're catching up on the premiums. We're trying to restore faith in the support of the listenership. Well, what's the point of them pledging to the station and they can't get their premiums and we can't continue that behavior? We expect that there is going to be a return, and even though this drive came in at 50%, it's still part of the recovery process from the damage that was done in prior years. Premiums did pop up in this drive based on what programmers were offering and a few other offerings that popped up, but they were premiums that we had on hand, nothing that we had to pay for, and not being offered directly from the station. And as such, I don't see any future drives performing this badly. I see an improvement in the performance of drives. Unfortunately, the hard number that you have is the 50% figure, well, less than 50% figure based on the 400 that was in the budget. And forgive me, I had never seen that $400,000 figure. But we expect those numbers to go up. We expect the December drive to perform as prior December drives did, if not better, based on a return to integrity. It damaged us very severely, not being able to meet these premiums in the past. That practice has stopped. In real numbers, I see exactly what you're seeing. It does come under, the tab of the cash flow forecast.
I have a quick point of information, Brian, if I may, to get just for what you're coming from. What is that 400 you're reading from? Is that for every pledge drive, for 400?
The tab that says fund drive pledge details has a different goal for each fund drive. So the goal it has for your December fund drive is $150,000 in 11 days. But what it had for October was $400,000 in 29 days of fundraising. That's what the budget, that's one of the assumptions that the budget's working from.
So when...
and that's the total number that you're coming up with, our total listener revenue? Because I was under the impression the assumption it should have been about $199,000 for October.
So the budget...
The
budget assumed that you got... that WPFW would make a pledge goal of $400,000, that only about 70% of those pledges would get paid. And then a certain amount of what got paid would go into expenses, like credit card fees and premium costs and so forth. So if I plug in what we heard the actual... I mean, you're saying, Jerry, you're saying the gross pledge amount was about $175,000, right? You're not saying the money in the bank.
Yes, the gross pledge amount.
So did that answer your question, Tony?
I need to go back.
I'm aware that was the assumption on this particular budget. I need to go back and look at that.
Yeah, I guess
we may have different. We our figures are confused. I may have a different draft of a budget, but I'll go back and look at it.
Look, here's what I'm concerned about. Earlier we were talking about what happens to the national office if any of the stations can't make their payments. And we're talking of serious and immediate repercussions. If I plug that fund drive into your budget, and if I fix what looks like that error on your cash flow and start you off with zero in the bank instead of negative 74, This says you're 56,000 short of what you need to pay your bills, cash on hand to pay your bills in November, which probably means the national office isn't getting paid next month. It says that by the beginning of February, you're 157,000 short of what you need to pay your bills, which might be more than the national office. That might be things like rent or payroll in terms of things you're not able to pay. So I think you guys, I mean, you need to redo a plan based on what you actually raised this month. It's so far off what the goal was that the budget is built around.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree. This is the first time I saw that $400,000 figure. And you're correct. We have to go back to the drawing board.
So Brian, in the fund drive pledge details, we would put in what our pledge drive. We would put in 175 there.
In
on the fund drive pledge details tab.
You said you're still updating your count. You would put in whatever your final count is.
Yeah.
Your final pledge tally.
Let's say it was 175. We would put that on the fund drive pledge details for October. And then it would, I saw if I put in 350, it lowered the October to 176. So, okay, I see. Okay. Okay.
Yeah, you want to look at the pledge list and support collect the next tab over two, because that shows how the money comes in each month from any given fund drive.
Okay, that shows the, okay. Month one, month two, month three, month four, okay. The fulfillment.
Yeah.
It shows what the expected fulfillment rate is. Okay. So we need to, I saw that someone else had to fill out the fulfillment rate. I thought that was for FY 2015, but we need to do this for this budget.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm going back. I'm seeing 184,000 for, wait a minute, this is October of 15.
That would be actual cash in. Realized
for the pledges, 46% of 400,000. Right.
Right. I see.
Okay.
I apologize for this. We lost our business manager this year, and Tiffany, and I'm sure she probably had this all filled out properly last year.
You guys may not believe it, but you were miles ahead of where WPFW was with its budget this time last year. So, I'm sorry the news is grim, but I really appreciate the work that you're both putting into it.
Thank you.
Striking, but thank you.
Folks, we're past the adjournment time on our agenda. What we have remaining is KPFT budget, status of other budgets, check-in on fall fund drive results, and cash flow liquidity. I'm personally close to my pumpkin hour. If someone wants to extend to go to any of those items, you'll need to make a proposal to do so now.
This is Bill. It'd be nice if we get the KPFT out of the way. Hopefully I got everybody's questions answered.
Well, you would be next, so I need a number of minutes that you would propose to extend by.
We'd extend 15 minutes.
That's the motion. Takes 2/3 to pass. Does anyone object? Hearing no objection, we are now extended until 10 of. Okay. So, what are we looking at, Bill?
Okay, well, I sent you all the revised budget on Saturday. The following is copy of KPFT_FY2016 budget
_v.1015. Okay. So, and I believe, and I then I sent along some explanations of for some of the line items along with when I sent that, and then I sent a few more today, mostly about fulfillments. So mostly I was just wondering if there's any questions. I think we got everybody's questions answered and addressed, I hope.
Adriana?
Go ahead, Adriana. And anyone else's deck? Okay, go ahead, Adriana.
Well, personal growth salary. That is up $8,363 compared with 2015. And we know that we have a motion already that will not be salary raised. And when we go to the salary tab, it's an employee named PDBD that will receive a salary of $10,000. Obviously, to be determined means, but he's projecting something there of an employee that will be in the future when it's a free. Then we have in total development, you have $128,800, but when you go to the development tab, that amount is $135,600.
Okay, which line item again? Let's see. That's
yeah.
You're comparing line. Let me find development here again.
Let me go total.
That's on 155.
Total development expenses. You have
okay.
Line 155. You have 128,800. But if you go to the development tab, that amount is 135,600.
Oh, the development tab?
Yes.
Okay, I didn't look there.
Okay. I have some other questions.
Hey, Toronto, did you go through that line by line to try to figure out where it's coming from?
Yeah, I tried. But I know that sometimes, you know, you have the utility towers, line 6641, right? That before we were told that this would be $50,000 because we need to start making payments. Now suddenly, the first 6 months of the year, we don't pay anything. We pay just
well, the last
6 months. Huh?
I can answer that if you want.
Okay, yes, please.
Well, we have not, there's no new contract yet, and there's going to be negotiated in the spring. Dwayne had put it in the budget starting for this month, but he says it's obviously not going to be paid this month or probably next month or December or even the next few months of next year until they get that negotiated and figured out. So there's no reason to budget for it if we're sure we're not going to be paying it for the next few months.
Yes, my only...
And we haven't been paying it in the past. If you're trying to compare with the past, which is what we were trying to do for all the revenue items...
I'm sorry, I'm not trying to compare with the past. What I'm comparing is what the reason that the general manager had before, $50,000 in that line, and the explanation was that because it's a gesture to our to the people that we rent, the utility tower paying that, and now that was cut in half. But that's okay. I have. Do you know how many days of fund drive they are projecting?
Total? Actually, I'm not sure because they added in about somewhere around a week drive or a little less than a week in December. Not sure how many days that is. We've never done that before. And if that's successful, as we hope it will be, then we won't have to have as many days in January or February as we were projecting. I don't know. I'm not sure of the total number. I guess you could look at that tab on the spreadsheet. Let me take a few minutes to look that up if you want. But typically what happens is that if one fund drive falls short, they just add more onto the next one, either start it earlier and or extend it later. That's what we usually do.
Okay. One more line, that is line in salaries, the HUI, the state unemployment insurance. If you look at the chart says 8,599. But if you look at the budget, it's only 5,900. I mean, it's short $2,600 there. I don't...
Well, I think they're using the numbers from the template from the national office. I don't know. Is Zephyrin still on?
They are using, what I'm looking is at the tabs that come with that, and supposedly it, and the numbers is really high for KTST because I see that other stations, I don't know really, that's why it's important.
They depend on the state.
Exactly.
It's different for each state.
I know that. That's why, but if you see at the tab, that's at the state unemployment insurance, the total amount is 8,599.50, but in the budget it's only 5,000. I mean, it's 2,600 short. What I see is if some the car doesn't, you know, just support. How is the decay? What I don't understand is why the totals are different, what the reasons are for that.
I don't know that. I mean, it's not a very much large amount, like you're talking like $2,600, but...
I'm talking totally about $10,000 extra in salaries and $10,000 minus in expenses. You know, it's like kind of balancing for that 10,000. That is the way that I see it. And like I said, I want to understand why we have an employee that is to be determined for $10,000 when we know that the PNP passed in October 15, it's freeze.
What was the
October 15, the PNB passed a freeze in salaries increase and hiring. I don't understand how we have an extra $10,000 for an employee that obviously is not even there. Unless that we do the same that like here and we don't care about freezes and you know whatever.
Well, I don't know the exact answer to that, but
okay.
If you look at the overall budget, we have a surplus of about a little over 17,000, which would cover the things you're talking about. So if there is a minor error, it would be taken care of for that. But I don't know if it's an error or not. I'm not sure why, like some of those numbers on the other tabs don't match exactly what's in here. There's a lot of things you have to adjust when you're adjusting the budget. But I do know Dwayne has been pretty successful in ensuring that we don't, our expenses don't exceed our revenues. And so if things are, you know, if the revenues drop, he's pretty good about cutting expenses, even though sometimes it's hurt quite a bit.
Well, if we go to the same thing that we say
So we've got a three back and forth rule. I can put you back on the stack, Adriana, but I want to make sure it doesn't devolve into a two person conversation. Oh. Is there anyone else who wanted to? Okay.
Michael, briefly.
What's up, Paul?
Yes, I just want to say your rule that you cited is actually illegal, but, you know, we'll get into that at some point, but it is. This was going to come up at the May 12th meeting, but I was in the hospital that night, so it never, you passed and I wasn't there to point out where it can't happen, but another night.
Okay.
Michael's in the stack, basically.
I heard Michael. Anyone else to stack? Go ahead, Michael.
I got you.
Remind
the correction. I just happened to notice that in this one, a little bit the same thing happens on others. I have to go back and check the okay. On the salaries tab, where it says hourly rate, the total administrative, the total programming, and the total development accumulate the hourly rates of all the people in that category. So you get this weird figure of $67 an hour, $52 an hour, but instead of averaging it. So there's a little green, marker there that it's an error, and that's what the error is. Instead of being the average of hourly rates, it's the sum. I don't know why that happened, but I just wanted to point that out.
Okay, but that's not... That's from a supporting tab. It doesn't flow into the budget.
Right.
And it doesn't look like if you look at the totals in column C, those figures aren't used there.
Yeah, right. Just pointing it out.
So, Bill, I want to... So two things. One is on development, which I only looked at because Adriana raised it. I don't understand what the tab is that she referenced to because it doesn't seem to flow to anything else.
Well, that's what I was wondering. I'm not sure because I couldn't jump back and forth quite as fast as we were going there.
But the development numbers in the budget, I guess this would be an Efren question. They seem to be pulling from. I mean, they're just running calculations mostly off income figures, like the credit card discount fees are.
Yeah, I mean, there's a zillion numbers on the development tab, so I'm not sure.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm just comparing them to prior year to see if they're realistic, and I'm a little concerned that you're budgeting the same amount of listener support but budgeting credit card discount fees to drop by 20%. Budgeting mailing services to drop by 10,000. From 25 to 15,000.
Okay, just a second, roll this down. What was the last one?
Mailing services.
Okay.
The budget's dropping from 25,000 in 2015 to 15,000 in 2016. And that's postage. I assume that's for mailing. Is that for mailing?
Yeah.
Have
you know,
shipping line.
I think they talked about using third class, standard class more. I'm not sure. I mean, this is assuming we have good addresses for people, then, you know, you don't have to spend so much money if you do it standard class. It just takes a longer to get there. But I'm guessing a little bit on that.
Okay. And they're planning on premiums to drop, premiums from other vendors to drop by 5,000, and premiums from PRA to drop as well. Oh, no, sorry, premiums from PRA is going up a little bit. Never mind. They're small, but they add up, and as you know, our margins are thin.
Right.
They're really small. I apologize, but it would be good to make sure that there's no formulas in the new template that are screwing things up for y'all. Because I think we had to, and also PRA had to as well, override the formula that was driving credit card fees because they were giving us a number that was clearly too low.
Okay. Well, I didn't check that. I assumed the template was correct, but... and I don't know. You know, one thing we've been trying to do, too, is encourage more people to go to sustainers and electronic fund transfer because there's no credit card piece for that. And one of the reasons we've been getting better fulfillment rates is that we have somebody in our membership office who has been calling lapsed donors or people whose credit card numbers stopped going through, like for monthly payments, and encouraging them to switch over to become a sustainer. So that also has the effect of reducing the credit card fees. I don't know how much total that amounts to, but it's increased our fulfillment rate, too.
So on that note, that was the final question I had for you, was the fulfillment.
And I sent you a bunch of files that we got from Robin this afternoon.
Right. So I think to the best that you and I were able to determine, the fulfillment figures in this budget template that are actually feeding into the budget are the ones that are in column D on the pledge.listener support collection tab, right?
Let me go back to that. Let's see. If that's what we were talking about earlier before the meeting, yes, that's correct.
Okay. And what that says now, oh, it looks like it's dropped in this version. What that says now is 82% for October, 80% for December.
Yeah. Well, I didn't compare it with the versions, but it's. I did compare it with what I sent you this afternoon from some of the historical ones, and the historical ones are higher. The ones we've actually achieved higher fulfillments in the last year or two.
Okay.
For the corresponding months of FunDrive. So, if anything, we're underestimating listener support because of that.
Great. Okay. Adriana, you're next on stack.
A call for the orders of the day?
Those would be a journey.
Okay. I want that being clear and tell KPFP that they cannot raise almost $10,000 in salaries because that is not allowed.
You will have to do that by either extending time or bringing it up at a future meeting because we can't have any further debate when our time's up.
Future meetings because there are so many things that are not being answered. And, yeah.
Okay. If there's no motion to extend time, we are adjourned. Our next meeting is November 9th. Is that correct, Paul?
10th.
10th.
And I'll be late.
I'm sorry, but I think that we need to have some executive session. I want to talk specifically about some personal issues that will solve the problem for a lot of us, I think.
Okay. Sorry, folks. Bear with me while we talk about scheduling. Next week.
We'll have a meeting on November 4th. I just sent an email about that.
Sorry, I must have missed your email. The only thing it conflicts with is the KPFT Outreach Committee. Does anyone have a conflict the night of November 4th?
Well, I'm on that, but it'll probably be finished by the time the NFC meeting is, and it's also by conference call.
Okay. All right, I'll make a motion to meet starting at 5:30 Pacific, 8:30 Eastern, on November 4th, beginning with 45 minutes in executive session. Is that adequate, Adriana?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Is there any objection to doing that?
Do we need that long? Because we still have a lot of budget stuff to go over.
Any session we open, we've got to call roll. We've got to approve minutes from prior executive sessions.
Exactly.
I don't know what Adriana is proposing, but I don't think it's realistic to schedule anything for less than 45 minutes.
I think that 45 minutes is fine.
Okay. Paul, do you have the motion down?
To meet on November 4th at the usual time, starting out an executive session for 45 minutes.
Great. Anyone object to that?
Well, I think we should try to get the budgets out of the way. I have no idea what this is about, but if you could send us some information in advance so we could prepare for it, that would help Adriana. We're already really late on all these budgets.
Well, we can always, if we finish early, obviously, you know, but I don't think so. In the meantime, that we approve the limits that we have from all the last... Okay.
Bill, are you objecting to the motion to hold this meeting?
Well, yes, because I don't see any reason for it, and I haven't seen anything by email either. Otherwise, you may not be able to tell you all the details in open session, and I'm worried that all of our budgets are so far behind.
Okay, Arpal, can you call the motion, call the roll on the motion to schedule a meeting for Wednesday, November 4th, starting at 8:30 Eastern, with the first 45 minutes in executive session?
Okay, Lydia Brezon. Adriana Kasanov?
Yes.
Bill Crozier?
No.
Brian Edward Steakert?
Yes.
R. Paul Martin? Yes. Tony Norman?
Pass.
Tony Norman?
Yes.
Michael Novick?
Yes.
Serene Roberts? Nancy Sorden.
Okay, yes.
Nancy Sorden, yes. Barbara Wipperman. Okay, going back. Lydia Brazan. Serene Roberts. Okay, 6-4, 1 against, 0 abstention.
Great. So that'll be our next meeting, Wednesday, November 4th. I'll talk to you then. We're now adjourned. Thank you for your work, everyone.
Thank you.